We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Zach, how are you?
Doing well, fellas. How are you?
Not bad. Hope, you know, cautiously optimistic that this baseball season is going to come together. Before we get to that, by the way, how are things going with the book?
Pretty well. I mean, no one had anything to do all spring and summer. Yeah. So, you know, why not just sit back, order a book online, and read? It seems like a decent number of people have done that.
I like it. Cleveland Rock, the magic of the 95 Indians. Which was a magical team and a magical season. Or it could have been.
Well, they still threw him a parade.
That's true. What was give us one thing from the book. I don't mean to put the pressure on you here. But one thing from the book that surprised you to learn. Is there anything off the top of your head?
Maybe that they almost cut Albert Bell when he was in the minors. Just because they didn't want to deal with the antics. And that some front office people had to stick their necks out and kind of put their own jobs in jeopardy by doing so. Maybe that, or some of the stories of just how cocky they were in a good way.
Yeah.
Cocky on the field. There are some stories in there about the first division series against Boston where it was like, once they got that first one out of the way, this was their first taste of the playoffs. It was the franchise's first taste of the playoffs. And four decades, like they knew it was going to be smooth sailing through the rest of that series. So I don't know that we'll ever see a team like that again from the standpoint of like being brash and arrogant, but channeling it in a way that kind of use it to your benefit.
Zach, let's get to some Indians talk here. We're going to have a season. It's exciting to know that the players are, you know, coming back to town, and you know, by the end of July, we should have games going. This kind of shortened season, where do you look at it from an Indian standpoint? Is this a benefit? Could this help an Indians team or hurt them?
I think there are ways they stand to benefit. I haven't quite figured out what, especially with the pitching, what the best setup would be to give them the best chance here. I think the bullpen had so many question marks as it was in spring training, and that was even before Emmanuel Clase got hit with the suspension. And I'm curious to see what they do because, look, they're going to rely on their starting pitchers. They want Clevinger and Bieber to be workhorses, but there are extra guys, you know, whether it's Zach Plesac or Savali or somebody else, Logan Allen, or like there are going to be a handful of starting pitchers who aren't going to be starting. So they have 3 weeks to figure out, okay, who's in our rotation, which starting pitchers will go to the alternate training site and just kind of twiddle their thumbs until we need a starting pitcher for something, and then which do you put in the bullpen? And do you maybe take a starting pitcher? Like I keep coming back to Plesac, who I think can be a workhorse and a really good starting pitcher, but you know if he's throwing 96, maybe you put him in the bullpen, that even plays up another tick or two. Could he be a really valuable reliever who can give you multiple innings every few days? Like, there are ways to toy around with this. I don't know exactly what the most efficient and effective setup would be. I don't know that they know that either. But they have enough pitching depth and enough arms with upside starting and relieving that, it's 60 games. You don't want to assign innings this year to guys who – you know, are just holding down the fort until the young kid's ready. Like, there's no time for that. So I think it's going to be imperative that they figure out just what might work. And there's not really time for trial and error. So, you know, they're hoping that whatever they do settle on, you know, works from day one.
It's going to be fascinating to see. Will more teams use openers this year? Because especially early in the season, we're going to see starters go really, you know, 3-4 innings probably. And by the time the season's over, guys will only have pitched like 40, 50, maybe 60 innings. So it's going to be weird. Like, I'm thinking we're going to see more starting pitching in the playoffs than we've seen in recent years because guys will be fresh, especially for the Indians.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be very different depending on the team. Like, the Indians, so their starting pitchers were planning on this initially to, but way back in like March and April, they were planning on, okay, let's just pretend that spring training will resume in late May. So let's all throw our bullpen sessions and do all your work so that if it starts in late May, we're ready to go and we don't have to play catch up. Then they pushed it back to June and July, and here we are now. But because of that, like, the Indians think that Clevinger and Bieber, I mean, you're not going to be throwing 100 pitches out of the chute, but they think that it can be like a normal season where they're built up to, you know, six innings or so by opening day. And because of that, they're hopeful that they don't have to assemble their roster based on if everybody's just throwing a few innings at a time and you need that time to work up your endurance. So it is going to be interesting. I don't know that all five starters necessarily will be built up to, you know, that kind of that ideal setting. But at least early on, they think that can be sort of a competitive advantage while other pitchers across the league are, you know, only throwing 3 or 4 innings or teams are going a different route with how they set up their pitching staffs.
Zach Meisel's with us. Zach, will Francisco Lindor be a Cleveland Indian the entire season?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to be really tough to make big trades during the season. I know the trade deadline's August 31st. Well, you're only going to play 33, 34 games before then. There's not going to be much separation in the standings. I mean, if the Indians are like, I don't know, 11 and 22, then yeah, it certainly makes sense for them to dangle him and pursue something. But it's going to be tough. You know, there's going to be very little minor league development this year. The guys who are developing at all are going to be just, you know, kind of minding their own business at an alternate training site. So it's tough to evaluate the prospects you would be seeking in a trade. I just think there's a much better chance of that happening this winter. And also, like, you know, it's, if you're like middling around 500, well, that's probably only a few games off the pace. So it's such a small sample size, and there are so many hurdles you'd have to clear. Not to mention, you know, coronavirus isn't necessarily going away. So any team that would be trading for Francisco Lindor and giving up this king's ransom is taking a huge risk because there's no guarantee you even finish the season.
That's a good point. Zach Meisel with us from The Athletic. Zach, you know, when you look at the 60-man player pool the Indians have, they're at 55 right now. I know Antonetti said, I can't remember if it was yesterday or Friday, but maybe he said it both days, I think. But the fact that they still might add some major leaguers. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the Indians cutting payroll. They have the last 2 years. They may do more in the future, especially with no fans. But is it like, you know, Puig is still out there. I know they got a lot of outfielders now, so it's probably not likely. You know, I don't know how much he's going to make for this year. If when he signs, maybe $1 million, maybe $1 million and change. Do you think they're interested at all in him or no?
I've heard no indications that would suggest they are. I took, you know, they have 5 openings, and they'll fill them at some point. My guess would be, like, first of all, if there's an injury to someone and they needed to go sign a free agent, they have the flexibility to do that now. I would think if they feel kind of uncomfortable with the setup of their bullpen, I'm sure there will be plenty of relievers either looking for jobs or opting out, signing deals, you know, over the course of the next few weeks. So I think it's more just for the fringes of the roster. And then I would expect a couple more prospects most likely as well. You know, there's still a few guys in their top 10 to 15 prospects that didn't make the cut. And I wouldn't be surprised if at least one or two of those get added.
You know, in a normal season, I would have thought just the Twins and Indians. For me, I felt like the White Sox were a year away. But in a 60-game season with all their young talent, I think the White Sox could win this division, you know, maybe not just as easily as the Indians or Twins, but I think they can. Do you agree? And do you think even in such a short season, could teams as bad as Detroit, who does have some good young pitchers coming up in the system eventually, and Kansas City, could even they be possibly in the mix?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I was bugging our White Sox guy about it this morning because I think that they're primed. They're one of those teams that could, because they're so young and they don't know any better, you know, they're just relying on their talent and the league doesn't really know them yet. Pitchers don't know how to approach some of their hitters that they haven't seen yet. They absolutely could make a run, and it's not going to require – you know, rookies go through growing pains. Young players go through struggles, and they have to figure out how to adapt back to the league once the league solves them that first go-around. Well, there's no time for that in a 60-game season. So, yeah, I think the White Sox are definitely a threat now, maybe a little more than they were. You know, the division's weird because for as well as the Indians have fared, like, against the Tigers, well, it just takes one bad series against Detroit, and that can kind of spoil some things because you know a lot of times I feel like we've all looked at the Indian schedule and said, oh well, they've got Detroit this weekend, so you know that'll be two or three wins. Well, you know, you have one bad series against that team, you don't really get to make it up later on when you're accustomed to playing them 19 times a season. So yeah, I just, even like, I think the Orioles are terrible, I think the Tigers are still pretty bad. But for the most part, I think across the league, the standings are just going to be pretty condensed. Yeah. And certainly I would still expect the Tigers and Royals to trail decently far behind the top three teams in the division. But, you know, it's not going to be like some team finishes 20 games out. It's going to be 10 or 15. And those top couple teams in each division are only going to be separated by a couple of games at most. So it really is, for the first time ever, going to feel like every game counts. And if you lose one to Detroit or to Kansas City, you know, you're gonna be kicking yourself.
What do you think about the new rule change for extra innings with the runner on second base?
So I've never quite understood the issue of long extra inning games. I understand, you know, what it does to your pitching staff potentially. I think there's some novelty with, like, I saw someone post something where, like, you know, you go to extra innings if you're watching or if you're covering a game, and, you know, the 10th and 11th, you're kind of rolling your eyes, like, let's get this thing wrapped up. And then the 12th and 13th, you're going to get that extra cup of coffee. And then by, like, inning 14 or 15, you're like, you know what, this is kind of cool. Like,
yes.
Who knows when this is going to end? This doesn't happen very often. So I've always been a fan of those games, which, for me to say that, having to be there and losing sleep over it, like, that should mean something, I think. Like, if a game goes 17 innings, that's fun. That rarely ever happens, you know. So I don't know that this is necessary. I don't have a huge problem with it, I guess, just because if it's better for the game, if they really believe that shortening these games is going to attract new fans, okay, go for it. I don't really see how it does. But I'm at least interested to see how it plays out and the strategy managers will have to use. You know, are you going to intentionally walk the leadoff hitter? Are we going to see a surge in sacrifice bunts? Are you going to play for one run? Are you going to play for multiple runs? Does it depend if you're the road team or the home team? So it's at least going to provide an extra layer of strategy. And I guess I'm in favor of that.
I agree with everything you said there, Zach. I love when games go 16, 17, 18, because people make it seem like it happens all the time. It rarely does.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, these games will, on average, be shorter. They were in the minor leagues when they changed this rule. But, yeah, Francona will definitely get a lot of bunts in the extra innings, no doubt. Zach, does this feel like, with the fact you already talked about, you know, there's a good chance Lindor is going to get traded this offseason, right? We know the Indians, who have already cut the payroll under $100 million, with losing, you know, the fans this year, they're going to probably cut the payroll even more. Does this feel like the end of this championship window? We know it's a great front office. They'll probably put it back together. But doesn't this feel like their last best chance to win at least for a couple of years, or no?
I would have said yes at the beginning of the season, but now it feels like the end of times just in general. So
true.
This doesn't feel, I think across the league, I don't think anyone feels really good about things, and I don't think anyone feels terrible about things. I think everyone just has a giant question mark in their minds. Nobody knows how this is going to play out. You could have a really good team just have a bad first week or two and kind of play themselves out of it when, you know, like the Nationals last year, there could have been a turnaround at some point.
Right.
So it's tough. I don't think it's a guarantee that Lindor gets traded this winter. I think they'll try. I'm assuming they're going to cut more payroll just based on how they've talked about their finances. But like, they still have a really good pitching staff. They still have good young players. So it'll depend on what moves they're forced to make, you know, what they get in return in the trades they do make. Like, there's a chance to retool for a year, maybe, or just, you know, kind of make this thing on the fly. I don't think it guarantees that they're not going to be good next year. But, yeah, I mean, it definitely – I think you feel better about your chances in 2020 than you do in 2021, just with all the unknowns.
Last thing, Zach. Yesterday, Antonetti talked about the fact that no players are opting out at this point. Obviously, with, you know, Carrasco was on with us a few months ago and said he wanted to play. He's higher risk, obviously, because of what he went through last year. Do you think that will hold? I mean, we've seen four players already opt out around the league. How many do you think will, you know, what's your best guess as to what we'll end up with? And do you think in the end any Indians player will opt out?
Yeah, I'm assuming this is going to become a little more trendy. And I think players who maybe later on, I mean, you saw with the guys yesterday, it was players who are later in their career. You know, it's not like they were desperate for the salary that they were right. going to make this season. You know, Carrasco wants to play. He's kind of been unwavering in that the whole time. I know the Indians will take certain precautions to make sure he's especially safe and not around too many people. But I mean, he's been working toward this the whole time, and at no point did it seem like he was ever thinking otherwise.
The book is Cleveland Rock, The Personality Sluggers and Magic of the 95 Indians. Everybody pick it up at all the usual places, right, Zach?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any local indie bookstore.
There you go. Well, Zach, we appreciate the time as always, man. Keep up the great work. By the way, you know, I didn't mention it, but the article you wrote recently where you talked Larry Doby's son, that was really great. Well, I mean, you're doing all great work, but that I really enjoyed that article. I meant to text you, and so anyway, there you go.
He is maybe the nicest, most genuine, engaging person I've ever spoken with. So.
Yeah. We appreciate it, Zach. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.